Welcome to Pain to Power, your go-to destination for real-life stories, genuine conversations, and a splash of reality, along with some real estate insights all in one place. I am your host, Kayla Cardona, and I invite you to join me on this transformative journey. Together, we'll delve into raw, unfiltered talks and experiences of overcoming adversity, finding the path to resilience, and rising above the pain. This is the podcast that empowers you to break through the barriers, elevate your life in every aspect, and unlock your true potential, regardless of your circumstances. And of course, we'll sprinkle in some good laughs and entertainment along the way. Welcome to Pain to Power. Let's go. Welcome back, everybody. Hope everyone is having an amazing weekend. Not sure if you saw my story post about talking about institutional investors and BlackRock and all of that. So this is the episode that is going to inform you on all that information. And I'm sure you've been getting hit with a lot of questions about this particular topic, especially if you're in the real estate industry that is getting tremendous amount of momentum in the news and social media. All right, so it's about the institutional investors and how much of American homes do they own? We have a lot of crazy stuff going on right now. We have a prominent presidential candidate saying institutional investors in a couple of years are going to own 60% of all the homes in America, and he's running on that platform. We have in Congress right now a bill saying that institutional investors are going to not be allowed to own a home, and they're going to have to sell off their current inventory in the next 10 years. So all of that is creating a lot of discussion. And if you're, again, a real estate agent, they're going to expect you to have some knowledge on all of this. So you can't just say, well, I don't know what's going on. I have no idea what you're talking about. It's a very hot topic right now with what the consumer is talking about. So the truth about institutional investors, I'm just going to get right into it. Do institutional investors currently own a large share of homes in this country? So I want you to understand what an institutional investor is. I'm probably going to say those words so many times in this episode because sometimes people get that mixed up with all the investors. Okay, so there's four types of investors. You have the mom and pop investors that own about 2 to 9 homes. Okay, it's that person, your neighbor that just bought their neighbor's house to get a bigger lot, or it's the person that bought a house, lived in it, and for a couple of years, rented it out, bought another house and repeated. Those guys, okay? We're not talking about them. The medium-sized investors that own 10 to 99 homes, the large investors, which owns 100 to 999 homes, and the institutional investors that own 1,000 plus homes. So when they're talking about the institutional investors, in reality, the definition is 1,000 more homes. But that's not what the definition that the people are using when they're talking about this topic. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take off the mom and pop investors, and we're going to just take them, put them to the side. They're not going to be included in anything. Okay. But I'm going to take the medium-sized investors, the large-sized, and the institutional investors for this deep dive, because that is the thinking of what the people are talking about, people that own a lot of homes, right? So let's break that down. According to the source of Parcel Labs, P-A-R-C-L Labs, you all can look this up, people that own 10 to 99 homes, the medium, only own 2.2%. Then you have the large investors that own 100 to 999 houses, only 0.5% 5%. And then the institutional investors that own 1,000 plus homes, only 0.7%. So when you add up the medium, the large, and the institutional investors, it only comes to 3.4%. So all three of those investors together own 3.4%. So the theory out there is that they own 30%, 40%, 60%. It's just not true. It's not happening. So together they only own 3.4%. Now, the mom and pop investors are included in the other piece, the 96.6%, because no one's going after them. They're going after the big banks, the Wall Street firms, the hedge funds. That's who they're trying to go after. So what we are seeing here is a very tiny slither of a slice of all the homes in America. So we want to start there. This is not going to be like there's going to be millions of homes coming into the market, all right? If this happens, but I think there are some consumers that believe that the institutional investors own tons of properties, and that's the reason why they can't buy a home and their adult children can't buy a house, because all these big Wall Street firms have bought all of them. That's not true when we break down the numbers and facts. The other question that comes up is, have institutional investors bought 40%+ of all single family homes over the last 3 years? This one is going crazy all over social media, that over the last 3 years, 40% of all the homes purchased in the country were owned or purchased by speculators, the institutional investors, and that's just not true. So how did that number even come up? There's this TikTok that this guy has posted that all the homes in the last 3 years, 40% of the properties were purchased by institutional investors. Trusted researchers looked into it, and because they were trying to find where this information was coming from, and they literally found this one guy on TikTok that went viral, got tens of millions of views, and it seems like he's the only one who has even mentioned something like this, because they couldn't find anything else on it. Nobody knows where he even got that information from. And this is exactly why you have to be super careful, you guys, about the information that you're getting, especially on social media, because anyone could be saying anything because they want more views and shares and clickbait, right? And someone shared it on Twitter, and that alone, the share got 2.4 million views. It went crazy. He is coming out with all this information, and that the institutional investors are coming after you and they're buying all the properties so you can't buy them, your adult children can't buy them, and the government's going to come in and we're going to hold their feet to the fire, blah, 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 right? That went viral. He clearly has no idea what he's talking about. And if you read the comments, no one's really asking him where he got this information or even questioning it. So the researchers looked into it, and the closest thing that they found based on what he was saying was from this MMA fighter named Jake Shields that retweeted something from a place called Media News. And with that said, was 44% of all single family home purchases were by private equity firms in 2023. So he wasn't talking about 3 years. He was talking about 2023. And that came out a few months ago. And if you look at the article, he was really talking about the first 3 months of 2023. But then the specialists are calling that out because they're looking at that thinking, that's not true either. So they went to the report themselves, and what they found was two different articles, and neither one of them said anything about 44%. So whoever this person is in this article, they go by the name Homeless Romantic. That should be a question in itself. They were the ones that came out with the report of 44% of all single family home purchases were by private equity firms in 2023, with a picture of a Black Rock building right below it. And then that guy came out, took that information, and said for the last 3 years, all the private equity firms are buying 40% of the houses. And none of that is true. But don't trust me on that. There's two very reputable people that you can go look for yourself. One is Lance Lambert. He started his own firm. He's the former editor for Fortune magazine. And he said that the status fake news, not even close to being true. Institutional operators, those owning at least 1,000 homes, own 0.73% of the single family housing stock, one in 137 homes. And John Burns is the other reputable person that you guys need to follow on Twitter or X or whatever it's called. John Burns is a consultant in new construction. He said, good grief, this is how public opinion is formed, leading to legislation to win votes. A professional fighter with 559,000 followers tweets an article with an inaccurate headline written by a person called Homeless Romantic. The result is full employment for lobbyists. You all can look this up yourself. Okay. So you got two very reputable people in the industry both saying that that's not true and it doesn't make sense at all. So now let's dig even deeper. Let's find out how that article doesn't make sense at all. So what is John Burns Consulting saying? Because they actually do the research on this. Okay. This is from their source. You guys can look this up. So the first half of 2023, stay with me here, guys. So 76.7% of homes were purchased by people like you and I, regular people buying a home. That's their primary residence. 19.6% of properties were purchased by mom and pop investors. Only 2.7% were bought by the medium-sized investors. 0.7% were bought by large investors, and only 0.3% were bought by institutional investors, not 40%. So you need to understand that all the information out there is just wrong. They are not buying up all the houses in America. That's just not true. So now let's go ahead and talk about that information. The false information is able to literally grow legs and just run through social media. Okay. First off, Tom Malone, M-A-L-O-N-E, economist at CoreLogic, which, by the way, you guys, my stepmom used to work for CoreLogic for many, 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 many years. And her dad grew up in that industry as well. So I come from a family that know if these sources are all accurate or not. Okay. And I would never talk or say information without it being facts and doing the research. Okay. Ever, ever, ever. So I just want to throw that out there. So Thomas Malone, who looks just at this investor purchases, okay, he looked at all the articles, and this is what he said. He says, as the total number of investor purchases declines, smaller investors are growing their market share. Typical housing market investors are becoming more and more likely to operate smaller scale, owning 3 to 9 properties. Throughout Q2, quarter two, 2023, large and mega investors showed muted activity. So not only are they not buying more houses, they're actually buying less houses. So even if we take a look at the institutional investors, you know, why is the government getting involved? Why did they do, you know, the proposing legislation to prohibit these people? Well, you guys, you have to understand that the economy is doing relatively well. Okay. It looks like we're going to bypass a recession, and it looks like we're going to have the soft landing that everyone said. And maybe if we do have a recession, it will be a mild recession. So the economy is doing very well. But if you look at the consumer confidence of the economy, it is not doing very well. And the politicians are realizing that the reason why people do not feel good about the economy is because of housing. Either they can't buy a house or their adult children can't buy a house. and that has them upset. So now when a politician has a voting contingency upset, they have to do something about it. And sometimes, I'm not saying maliciously, okay? I'm not saying that they're doing this knowingly. I'm not saying I'm on either side of whatever, okay, politically. But they see all these headlines and they say, well, that's the problem. The big guys are the problem. And what everyone is talking about is BlackRock. Is every single family home owned by institutional investors denying a family their chance at the American dream of homeownership? That's the question. And who they point to is BlackRock. Just like they have the photo underneath the article that I just spoke about earlier. So you'll hear it all the time. BlackRock this, BlackRock that, blah, blah, blah. So, and here's the thing. BlackRock is not even a challenge, okay? In fact, BlackRock didn't buy any single family homes. They didn't buy one. This is directly from their site, you guys, okay? Setting the record straight. BlackRock invests in multifamily properties, apartment buildings, complexes, multiple buildings, and other residential real estate. They invest in everyone. They build to rent. We'll talk about that in a minute. So BlackRock is an active investor in the U.S. real estate market, but we are not among the institutional investors buying single family homes. They don't buy single family homes. So they're not even in the game. Now, what they do is they own some single family homes, yes, because they build them themselves. They build developments, they call it build to rent. The same way you would have a development where you can buy the houses, they have the amenities and they have the park for the kids and the pickleball court and the pool. Well, now builders are building those for renters, because they need to show them that. So what I want you to understand is what winds up taking place is they're adding inventory to the market, not taking away inventory from the market. They are building so renters can move into their developments, which leaves more single-family residences to be purchased. So it is the exact opposite of what they're being accused of, okay? So now, out of fairness, this is BlackRock, okay? BlackRock split up several years ago, and there's a company called Blackstone. And I want you to understand with Blackstone, they do own and purchase residential properties. So BlackRock does not, but Blackstone, which was affiliated with them years ago, was a spinoff. They do, okay? So it's Blackstone that people should be talking about. Here's another article by Reuters. I think that's how you say it, Reuters. R-E-U-T-E-R-S. That says Blackstone raises $30.4 billion for the latest real estate fund. And people ran all over that saying, see, they raise all this money to buy all the houses in America. Well, let's go ahead and take a look at that for a second. There was an interview with Kathleen McCarthy, the global head of real estate for Blackstone. So Blackstone, who does purchase single family homes, this is what she says. If you just look at our portfolio, about half of the portfolio is concentrated in warehouses, student housing, and data centers. These are sectors that have, that are having high cash flow growth. And cash flow growth is really the strongest mitigant, I don't know how to say that word, against a higher rate environment, end quote. So what are they saying? They are saying that they raised a bunch of capital, and the main reason is they want to get involved in student housing. So they raised $30 billion for all those investments, the warehouses, the student housing, and the data centers. They spent more than a third of that already in housing, which housing, they bought a company that does student housing all across the country. Now, student housing has some houses, and something I personally wasn't aware of myself, depending on the college, but 60 to 80% of students don't actually live on campus. They live in neighborhoods around the campus, some in apartment buildings and some in single family residences. So that student housing stock that all came up for sale by a company, American Campus Communities, who have been doing it for years. And Blackstone purchased that company. Okay, that's where they spent their money on residential. So again, they didn't just go and buy a bunch of houses to take away from people. They were student homes already. They just switched ownership. Now, BlackRock doesn't have any homes. They first build homes. So we have more inventory. Blackstone does have some residential properties, and I'm sure that they purchase others, but the main thing is what they do is campus housing. So again, let's go back to the 40%. Where did that 40% come from? The question is, will institutional investors own over 40% of all single-family homes by 2030? Here's a report from the news network from The Hill. And it reads, 40% of rental homes may be owned by institutional investors by 2030. That's the title. The source says it comes from MetLife Investment Management. You can go back and find the study. But here what the mistake was, which makes sense as to why people are coming up with the 40-50%, it was based on MetLife's study. The mistake was the title saying 40% of rental homes. People are skipping the words rental homes and they're thinking, oh my God, all homes, right? Now, if MetLife was right, here is what would have happened. So today, about 75% of the homes are owned by owner occupants. Smaller investors, not institutional investors, that means the mom and pop investor, the medium investor, and the large investor own about 24.3%. Institutional investors, as I've told you before, less than 1%. The misinformed expectation says that the small investors are still going to be there. But what the institutional investor is really considering or really looking for is a company that owns 100, 200, 300 properties, and they're going to buy them. They're not going to be taking them out of the market. They're already out of the market. It's just switching ownership. But because that's confusing the way a lot of people aid, and now it's becoming this big thing that has gone viral. And again, there's a bill in front of Congress saying institutional investors should not be able to own homes. And over the next 10 years, they have to sell every single one of them off. The student housing, the housing for families, the housing for multi-generational families, that doesn't make any sense. It's just not a big number. There is a housing shortage in this country. In fact, Bank of America came out and said that there were 4 million houses short. That's what the challenge is. We have to build more houses. I don't think we have to take the rental houses from people that are living and throw them out and turn them into houses that people can buy. This is not a political thing, you guys, but politics on both sides might be using an issue to win over votes and creating fear that is not accurate and it doesn't exist. Now, with that being said, I want to let you know that it is a challenge in certain parts of the country. As a country overall, it's not a challenge. But what researchers have found is that the institutional investors are really concentrating on certain cities. Like some parts of the country, it's not an issue at all. But this is from Jason Lewis, co-founder of Parcel Labs, okay? He quotes, national numbers can be misleading here. The largest operators concentrate in the same markets. There are many zip codes where large operators own more than 1 in 10 homes. The top markets these 100 plus unit portfolios concentrate include Atlanta, Dallas, Houston, Phoenix, Charlotte, Tampa. Nationally, the impact is small, but locally, the impact can be huge. That's what he says. So there are certain parts of the country where this is an issue, but not an issue overall. Well, not in some cities, but that doesn't define the entire country. Overall, institutional investors owning homes don't own anywhere near what has been reported. But in these cities, you want to take a look at that. And if you want to narrow it down, just don't count on me. These are two people that you need to pay attention to. It's Lance Lambert, again, the former editor of real estate, editor for Fortune magazine, who has created his own company called Residential Club. He really looks at that, and he works with Jason Lewis, L-E-W-R-I-S. Together, they can give you a real good understanding of how does this affect your local market. Follow them on Twitter or X, and you're going to get a lot of really good information. I follow them myself, and I don't get social media notifications, but with them I do. So I silence all my notifications, and I just put them. So whenever they post something, it pops up on my phone and I get informed right away. So what I want to leave with you today is that this huge monster that this media is creating is actually extremely tiny, okay, in comparison to what is being made out to be. So dive deep into this on your own. You're going to get questioned about this a lot, especially this year, because it's also an election year, you guys. So prepare. The media is constantly going to put, you know, all these fear-mongering events in our faces and trying to scare you and try to get your vote and all of that. This is going to be a rough year, I think, you know, but only rough if you allow it to be, okay? So you guys, you have to keep learning. You have to stay informed and continue to invest into yourself, surround yourself with the right people. Okay, and stay focused and don't get lost in all the bull crap. Okay, so again, hope that helps you guys for today. Hope that makes sense. I just really wanted to talk about this because this is going to be a very big topic for the rest of this year. So again, if you guys are in the industry, you got to make sure that you guys know your information. And when someone brings it up to you, you'll know the answers. So if you have any questions, DM me on, I'm most active on my Instagram, at MS Kayla Cardona. So DM me if you have any questions, you guys. Listen, at the end of the day, we're all in this together, and that's what I'm here for. I'm here to help. Okay. If you guys have any questions regarding real estate and, with all the resources and, if you're in real estate and you're looking for that coaching and mentorship, reminder that Breakthrough 2024 starts on January 24th, Wednesday at 6 p.m. Pacific time. I'm going to go ahead and put the link in the description so you guys can sign up for that. Breakthrough is all about mindset. I do have an episode called What is Breakthrough 2024? So go back in the episodes and check that out if you have more questions about that. But it is included in there. 6 months of access to me, where you'll be in a community of people in our Breakthrough program and in a group chat pretty much with me for 6 months. And you have access to me for 6 months where you can literally ask me anything and I will help you in every way that I possibly can. Okay, you guys. So if you're interested in that, go into the description of this episode and click on the link and sign up there. Again, if you have any questions, just send me a DM and message. And also, if this episode was helpful to you, if you guys can share it to other people in the industry or even family members or friends, the ones that are freaking out and saying this, oh, did you read this headline? Did you hear that news? And da da da. Send this to them. Okay. And again, if you guys have any more questions, just send me a message, send me a DM, and I'm happy to